Amen. How many believe that tonight? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we sure have been blessed. We have thoroughly been enjoying what the Lord has prepared for us. Well, I have anyway. How about the rest of you? Amen. We're just so honored and blessed to have these gifted men to minister the words of life. You know, Jesus said, this gospel must be preached into all the world. Then shall the end come. Well, who's going to preach it? As we heard last night, as we heard touched on again this morning, God has an order to things. And he doesn't change his order. He's chosen men to do it. Amen? We have confidence in that tonight. Praise the Lord. You know, some would say, well, you know, I just don't believe that God can get a hold of a man in this hour. Well, your God is puny then. My God's completely in control. And if he said it was going to be this way, it'll be this way. If this is how he arranged to do this from the beginning, this is how he'll do it in the end. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know if there is a fivefold ministry. I don't know if there are ministers that God can get a hold of. I tell you tonight, there's at least five. There's at least five of them on the earth tonight, because the scripture tells us that. But we know that God has men all over the world. Amen? Our confidence is in him. Our confidence is in his word. You know, we're feasting. This is just wonderful. You know, others are looking out into the darkness, as Brother Ward started the services. They're looking out in the darkness and seeing spookiness and scariness, talking about what's wicked and what's wrong, and you know, and here we are in Satan's Eden, and we're surprised, right? Well, if you look at that, you're going to be depressed and discouraged, and you're going to give Satan a lot of glory. But realize, if all that darkness is there, there's light. Amen? And if you look to the light, you'll never be discouraged. You won't be depressed. This is the greatest time, friends. It just depends on what we're looking at. Amen. There's so much that we could say, but we want to give our brother just as much time as he needs here tonight. And we want to pull on the gift of God. We love Brother Reagan, and we're so thankful that he's taking time to be with us this weekend. And he's a real man of God, and he's a friend. You know, you might wonder, well, Brother Doug, it seems like you've invited your friends here. Well, wouldn't do you much good if I invited my enemies now, would it? I believe my friends are called of God. And these are some of my friends, but they're great friends. God has set this up that the ministry that he's called, these throne guards, they're back to back. So they're not worried about their backs, because each one has their back. Amen? We have one goal, to finish this work. Amen? Blessed be his wonderful name. Well, let's stand tonight. Amen. Let's sing that song, He Knows My Name, I Have a Father. We'll just invite our brother to take his liberty here tonight. I have a Father. He calls me his own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. I have a maker. I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in His hand. You believe that tonight? Amen. He knows my name. He knows.
And He hears me when I call. Let's sing it again. He knows. Yes, Lord God, thank You, Father. Every heart. Thank You, Jesus. Tonight, bring you greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. What an honor it is for us to be together. Honored to be able to be here with my friend Brother Doug and the sanctuary of the assembly. Also, Brother Darrell and Brother Mike. I told Brother Doug after the incident of the church, I was just so glad we would be able to be here during this time to help maybe carry a little bit of burden along the way. And when we leave next week and head back toward Tennessee, Arkansas, wherever we go, we certainly will not stop praying for the local assembly here. We believe that God works all things for our good, but we also know we're humans, and sometimes in between that working time can be a little bit difficult, but we know that He's mindful, do we not? We say it constantly that He has it all in control and everything. He knows exactly what's going to happen to us, but sometimes in our humanity, we can't keep from saying why. And you realize God doesn't get angry at us when we say why. It's how we say it. The Lord Jesus allowed Himself to feel why. In the Garden of Gethsemane, my God, why? He didn't just say that. He felt why. Have you ever felt why? Why this? Why that? Why is not a word necessarily. Why can be a very emotional experience. But whenever we look at the promise of God, we know that God always works for the benefit of His children. And we're so, so grateful for that tonight. After hearing Brother Darrell preach and hearing Brother Mike preach, I decided to turn in my preacher's license. And I thought maybe I'd just become a plumber. And I hate plumbing. My, I've just been so blessed by the services. Just so appreciate our brothers. I love preaching with men of God that you don't feel like you're competing. That you're not trying to see who can get the deepest or the smartest or the greatest. I hate that stuff. To me, it's not about you being impressed with how well we can do. It's how well we can get out of the way that you can be helped. You can be blessed. Amen. What do you say we turn to the book of Genesis tonight? That's a book we haven't heard much about this week, but it might do us good just to read from Genesis. I love the book of Genesis. I know you do as well. If you look at the way it's spelled, G-E-N-E-I-S. Genus. Genesis. So it's the gene book of the Bible. Seed book. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven, singular, and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light, notice this now, God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for the opportunity that we could be gathered together tonight, Lord, with your children. We've just been feasting on your word, and Lord, we've been so blessed to be together. I know it's been under great strain for the local assembly here trying to bear the load of these meetings and then a sudden shift in the plans. I know it had to be difficult for them, for the musicians, for the song leaders, everyone involved. But we thank you for their effort, Lord. We just ask that you would bless them, Lord Jesus. May the presence of God just help them and strengthen them, not only in these days that we're gathered together in these special times, but Father, when all the visitors go their way and the next week rolls around and they're trying to decide where they're going to have church in the local assembly and will they renovate, will they rebuild, all the insurance haggling back and forth. May the Spirit of God be with them, we pray, Lord. May you just have your way. We're believing you. We'll look back upon this time and think, wow, the blessing of God was hid in disguise. Lord Jesus, speak to us once again your precious word tonight, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. And the saints said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I need to ask a favor. Which one of your brothers has got a good watch that I can borrow? I don't need one, but about four or five faces now. I need a good, simple watch. You got one, JJ? We're not in time. Is no more yet, Brother Baker. Actually, I'm going to speak on eternity tonight. So a preacher who's speaking on eternity needs a little bit of nudging in time, lest he breaks into eternity and everybody files out one at a time except for me and Carol. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight on a little block of time. But before we go into time, let us go into eternity. I love the eternal things of God. I'm sure you do as well. Brother Branham tells us God is endless like eternity. And you can never find the corner of a perfect circle. You could run and run and run through the ages and through eternity and there'd never, never, never be an end to it. And that's the way God is. Now, we'll be honest and say in our human minds, we can't understand that a bit more than nothing. Because everything we deal with has a beginning. Again, he says, now this great chain of perfection was broken by time, space. Time came because of sin. Let's draw a picture of time. Let's see a perfect circle forever and forever. Then all at once, we see, as my wife calls it, a little hickey or a little drop in the chain. So it comes down. Now, eternity is like this. It just goes around and around and around and around, and it never stops. But all of a sudden, in our picture tonight, we see what he called a little hickey or a little block that fell down out of eternity. Now, he said it was a drop in the chain so that it comes down, but eternity continues on, but it's not in its perfect condition. Didn't Brother Mike beautifully express that last night and today? There is a little gap that comes down this way. Now, God had to do that, he said, and it dropped down to a space of time for the trying. So we know that we are here to be tested and tried. And he said, for the perfecting, and he said, the purging of the lost, that God by his sovereign grace might someday lift that little hickey or that little gap back up into the perfect circle. So here is the perfect circle that just goes around and around and around and around. But all of a sudden, there was a little gap that came down like this. And it dropped out of the circle. Now, when it dropped out of the circle, it dropped with the permission of God, knowing that there would be attributes that would be expressed in the drop, which had never been expressed in the circle. And once the drop is pulled back up into the circle, the necessity of those attributes will no longer be needed, as our brother expressed beautifully. Now, believe it or not, the preachers don't get together before a convention and say, now, I'll preach this and you preach that, and I'll read this quote and you read that quote. You know that already. But the Holy Ghost is mindful of us, isn't he? That's right. Notice this, he said, God by his sovereign grace will lift that little hickey or that little gap back up into the perfect circle, then she rolls right on the same. Now time is that little loop that loops down. Jesus was from eternity to eternity, but he stepped out of time, spaces, made flesh and came to there in order to put a streak of blood all across this little gap. Now look at what redemption is doing. Redemption is bringing a streak of blood all across this little hickey or this little gap in order to pull it back up into the perfect circle. You say, what's that got to do with me? Absolutely everything. Because you were in him when it was in the circle. Now, if you were in him in the circle, there ain't no way you're going to be lost in the hickey time. Oh, glory. If you were in him here, don't worry. You will be brought back up. The streak of blood will pull you back in. Notice again in the law having the shadow, he says this, a little block fell out of this perfect circle of eternity and it dropped down to a place called time. Now we know that Moses, God brings Moses back and we'll say that God called him back into a sphere or a realm. We know the prophets see their visions in the fourth dimension there. God made seven dimensions, of course, when he started creating in the element of time, light, matter, time, science, where the unbeliever goes, where the believer goes, and where God is. And God opened up the fourth dimension by which prophets would see their vision. That dimension was exclusive to God alone for many, many years. And then man finally broke into it by the realm of television, frequency waves, and all of that. But yet God had that realm by which he would be able to reveal himself to his prophets in a supernatural way. So God called Moses back into a cave or somewhere, and he started in a certain spot to be able to reveal his program to Moses. And he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. St. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same as in the beginning with God. And we know that that's where God started them. But in this day, God wanted to go further back than he went with Moses or that he went with John. So he did not take Brother Branham back to the beginning, but he took us back through the realm of another prophet of God in the back part of God's mind. Not in the beginning, as Moses said, not in the beginning, as John said, but before there was a beginning. So what was before the beginning? The eternal. Now, John never wrote about what was before the beginning. He began at the beginning. And that's when time actually began. Now, it dropped into the loop. Now, we know the prophet tells us in several places that he said, to my opinion, the first thing that God made, he said, was angels. And when he created angels, then he made him an object of worship. Is that right? Now, of course, the angels then fell, and he created them in degrees. So there are cherubims, there are seraphims, there are zoons, all kinds of angels. And there were angels which were created on a very similar basis that you and I are, and that is the ability to choose. But yet the Bible also tells us that there were elect angels. So they were angels which were not of the same essence and the same quality. And remember, there is no redemption for angels. Oh, glory to God. Can you imagine as you sat here tonight, you may have lied and stolen and cheated and treated people awful and done horrible things, but there is redemption for you if you are a mortal of God. But yet if you're an angel that fell, once you fall, you can never go back to that estate that you originally had.
Now watch this. Let us pick this up again in Genesis chapter 1. And God says here, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the first creative act that we see in Genesis 1:1 takes us actually back to the dateless past of the geological ages of the earth in its very origination. Now we know it's a very vague story that Moses writes, and we know the prophet tells us that actually God condenses his truths. So God will say something in one verse, and then he may have a span of millions of years, and then he'll resume that again in verse 2 or 3 or 4, same in Isaiah 61, different places in the scripture that God would put an element of time, but we read it and it sounds as if though it's verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, and it happens now and now, but that's not the way the Bible is actually written. Notice this, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And Brother Mem said it this way. Brother Cox, I was down at his house not long ago. This is Brother Charlie Cox in Kentucky. And he said, on the driveway, there was some little crushed rock on the road. And there was a little fossil of a sea animal that was laying there that lived many, many years ago. And Brother Cox said, Brother Branham, wonder how old that really is. And I said, well, Brother Cox, perhaps chronologists would say maybe millions of years, way back before the earth was ever inhabited by human beings. And the waters covered the earth, and those animals lived many, many, many millions of years ago. Now, wait a minute, Brother Donnie. Now, the earth is only 6,000 years old. The Bible says that. No, the Bible does not. You thought the Bible said that. Well, I'm in trouble already. Notice again, spoken words originally said, if you notice God telling Moses, he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How long that took? It was none of our business. But in the beginning might have been hundreds of billions or trillions or aeons of ages ago, but God created the heavens and the earth, period. That settles it. So Genesis 1 is the beginning when God starts the geological ages of the earth's great past. How many years ago that was? We don't really know. God left it that way. Again, he says, God made the earth. A man told him this. God made the earth in 6 days. Now he said, no, the Bible did not say that. The first chapter of Genesis says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How long he was doing that? We do not know. Again, he says God made the world, and it might have been 100 trillions of years. You see, this is where the creationist view and the scientific view of evolution clash, and they look at creationists, which do not even understand creation, and they say, y'all are a bunch of nitwits. Because you all say the earth is only 6,000 years old, and we can prove this and this, and those who really don't even know their Bible will stand and try to argue with them, and many of the creationists are absolutely wrong when they try to date the earth. Oh my goodness. Well, I could change my text and preach on something else if y'all don't like this, I reckon. Now, notice, so God made the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then we find God put there and had Moses to stop, and there was a period at the end of that sentence. Now, whenever the sentence resumes, we resume a status of the earth which was not in its original creation. You see, something happened between verse 1 and verse 2. Notice he says, again, I was speaking recently at a meeting, and a fellow met me on the outside and said, hey boy, you're barking up the wrong tree. Said, you said the world was 6,000 years old. And I said, I never said that. I said, the order of the world is 6,000 years old. He said, well, the Bible said God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. I said, he did not do that. When he started to use it, that's whenever you're talking, brother. Now listen, think now. Not when he made it initially, but when he was going to use it. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now watch this again. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So it is created not from any pre-existing material. It's not created from a substance which was already there, but God created the heavens and the earth. Now we know that our planet is not the biggest. We know that our planet is not the greatest. Our planet is not the brightest, but our planet was the one that God chose. Now remember, Mars' name is not in the Bible. Neptune's name is not in the Bible. Jupiter's name is not in the Bible. The Earth's name is in the Book of Life. Well, praise God. Why don't God destroy the earth and make another one? He can't. The earth is one of God's attributes. And the earth's name is written right here. You say, where? I just read it to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So the earth's name is written in the book of life, the Bible. God cannot destroy this earth. Amen. He cannot destroy you. If you are one of his attributes, you are redeemable. The earth is redeemable. So the whole universe is created by the power of God. We believe that. Men of science reveal our galaxy contains more than 100 billion stars. Just our galaxy. That's our neighborhood. That's the cul-de-sac that you live, say, in Tucson. Our sun is 150 trillion miles from the center of our galaxy. And our galaxy is one of a small cluster of 19 galaxies. Our closest neighbor is 30 million light years away. 150 million trillion miles. Oh yeah, what was that problem that you're so concerned about that God couldn't take? Remind me after church. Forgive us of our unbelief, Lord. Can you think of what he does every day, friends? Absolutely every day. Powerful telescopes have determined that there are more than a billion galaxies. A billion galaxies with over 100 quintillion stars. Forget your fingers and toes. But a change came. Now remember, the whole universe was not placed under Adam's dominion. Just the earth. The sun never fell. The moon never fell. None of the planets above us fell. Only this one. Oh, glory to God. And this one is waiting on you. You can't hear it tonight, but the Palo Verde tree is worshiping God. The octilla, all the different cactus, all the different flowers, all the different plants around the earth are worshiping God because they know their time of redemption is getting close at hand. Because when the sons of God get restored to their position, the earth will be turned back up upright on her axis and she will come back to the original created state that God made her in the beginning. God restores the earth's master. The earth will follow. But if we believe what the Bible teaches us, there was a catastrophic event that happened upon the face of the earth. Lucifer, who had been created as God's vice regent, as God's right-hand man to fellowship. Remember, the prophet tells us the angels actually fell before the foundation of the world. So before God ever began to, as Brother Mike laid it out so beautifully this morning, began to bring the earth and the sun and the stars and all the great things into existence, the angels had already fallen. So you imagine as they stand on the brink of eternity and they watch God as God begins to speak and whirl the stars out and the Logos is writing the first Bible. And they're waiting patiently. And then they notice as God begins to pay particular attention to this one little small speck of dust. And God directs his love in such a magnificent way. And he begins to bring forth things upon this particular planet that as far as we know exists on none other. You see, scientists tell us that our earth is placed in the proper orbit of the sun. That if she was so many degrees one way or the other, she could not be able to have life. But God placed us in the habitable zone. Amen. What good would it do to put seed on a planet that's not in the habitable zone that can have life? It's the same way with the predestinated seed of God. You know why the seed goes in some people's ear and it don't make no difference? They're not in the habitable zone. But God, by election, placed you and I in the habitable zone of eternal life. And when we receive the word, it springs to life. So this being conceives in his heart, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. This is the beginning of sin. Notice how devastating pride and arrogance and selfishness is with these two words. I will. When we exalt our will, our desires above the will of God, we're back in Satan's region. He conceived in his heart as the vice regent of God. I will be like Adonai. I will be like Elohim. So he looks upon this earth. My thinking of it is God brings it into existence years and years ago. Everything God loves, he hates. He don't hate you because you're a Reagan. He don't hate you because you're a Baker or a Price. He hates you because God's extended his love towards you. No doubt when you was a little boy, a little girl, and something was fixing to befall you, a terrible accident of falling out of a tree or on a bicycle, and you run out in front of a vehicle and it should have killed you. But God sent an angel down there and diverted that thing away from you. And the devil in that other realm watched it and said, ho, ho, that might be one of them. We better watch them out. Oh, hallelujah to God. Why? Because before you ever got saved, he loved you. Before you ever come to him, he was watching over you. The perfect God who does everything in perfection. Notice this. Whenever the prophet said, the very rocks, that's what Satan once walked up and down on the earth, burning brimstone. Satan, the son of the morning, walked on the earth when it was a burning volcanic. So you imagine when God begins to bring it into existence, here comes Lucifer. And he's walking on the earth, treading around, said, wow, what a place for a headquarters. Now let me remind you tonight, the devil cannot create. That's right. So if he wants a church, he's got to pervert one. If he wants a nurse, he's got to pervert one. If he wants a bride, he's got to pervert one. Because he cannot create. He's not omnipotent. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. Come on. He is limited in time. And this is the way I like to aggravate him. I like to sing this tone to him every now and then. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. You say, why would you do that? Because he had a day he started. He can't sing that back to me. In my soul, I have no birthday. Now, in my body, I do, but in my soul, I never started. In your soul, you never started, and you'll never die. But the devil had a day he started. Amen. And a day he will be annihilated. So the vice regent of God has a dominion. And he starts to making his brag. I will do this. I will do that. I will. God in judgment strikes the earth. And when Moses resumes Genesis, he resumes verse 2. And Moses looks at it and thinks, what kind of catastrophe happened? You see, the earth itself has been stricken several times by the judgment of God because of sin, either of angels or of men. She's fixing to be stricken again. Is that right? She'll be stricken after the millennium. Is that right? She'll be stricken the tribulation period. She'll be stricken by the atomic warfare that'll take place before we go into the millennium. After the millennium is over, she'll be stricken again and for the final and last time. So God says, we have a being who says he can bring forth life. Then God steps back and strikes the earth and says, here you go. Show us what you can do. Either put up or shut up. So you imagine 1,000 years went by. The earth is now covered in darkness and the tumultuous atmosphere on the earth, and she's tossing and turning, reeling and rocking. She's without form and void. You see, God would never have left the earth in this state, in the pristine condition of original creation. This is not his way. To create the earth without form, God created it and left it formless. God created it and left it void. God created it and left it empty. Absolutely not. This is a sign of his judgment. And then he allows this enemy, maybe 1,000 years, 10,000 years, 300,000, 1,000,000 years go by. And the earth is still like it was. Maybe after 10,000 years, God came back to him and said, I'm waiting. Come on now, big mouse. You're going to exalt your throne. You're going to be like me. You want to be like God. Create something for us. We'll not ask for an elephant first. What about a fly? A flea? We won't ask for a watermelon. What about a grape? A peach? A raisin? Anything. You see, science has found this embedded in the geological record of the earth's ages. Now, all of this was here when Brother Mike brought it so beautifully last night and today. When Adam stepped out on the earth, all this was buried in her past. But Adam didn't know it. Let me tell you something, friend. It's the same way with many of us tonight. God gets a hold of our life and all the geological record, the things that we've been through. And people think, my, look at that person. Boy, they never have no battles. They never have no trials. They don't know the fossils that's in your life. They don't know the things that there that you're battling and battling. All they see is a beautiful paradise. That's what our God does. He takes an earth that is absolute chaos and transforms it into a garden of Eden. That's what he's done to our lives. In the middle of hell, he has transformed our lives to a garden of Eden. So God waits, and he waits, and he waits. And then in the fullness of time, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. Notice this in Isaiah 24, 1. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste. Turneth it upside down. And scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. Isaiah 45, 18. Thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it and created it not in vain, which is formless or in confusion or emptiness. Now here Isaiah again catches the original act of Genesis 1:1, that God did not create it in formlessness. He did not create it and leave it in emptiness. So if it was empty in verse 2, something had to happen to it. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, he says, and there is none else. You know why I'm not two-ness? You know why I'm not three-ness? Because the main man himself said he looked around and there wasn't nobody up there but him. Now, I've not been there yet to be able to do that. But if he says there ain't nobody else there, I take his word for it. Notice in the earth, it's the very same word that Moses uses in Genesis 1-2. And the earth was without form. So God did not create chaos. God did not create the earth and leave it in such a state. He created it in perfection, but he strikes it with judgment because it is the desire of his vice regent. I want this place. Jeremiah 4:23, I behold the earth, and lo, it was without form. And void. And the heavens, they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled. And all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and the birds of the heavens were fled. And then here comes the Logos in verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. To demonstrate, he alone has the power of life. You believe that? We can give somebody a book. We can give them a tape. We can even invite them to church. But we cannot give them life. Only God can do that. The darkness had enshrouded the earth. She's standing there spinning around, moving. And the darkness is there. But remember, there were some seeds laying there from a former civilization. Glory to God. The darkness had surrounded the earth. And when light come, it fully revealed the death of the planet. You see, not only was it in such a chaos, but the darkness itself hid how severe it was, how bad it was. I still think we're still beginning to understand how bad in shape we were when we were in the world of darkness. Notice this, the prophet said, there is a man here who can turn on the light. The earth was without form and void, and God, the Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the waters. I believe the sun already was in existence, and the moon. Notice this. God is not creating the sun, the moon, and the stars. They're already in existence. He's simply forcing back the atmosphere that's hindering their power from revealing itself to the earth. Remember, the moon itself is an average of 238,000 miles from your earth. Who put it there? Your papa. He controls it every day. Amen. Notice he said, and it moved in. There was fog and mist that covered the earth, making it dark. And God said, let there be light. And the darkness faded away. And there was a cloudless sky. Wow, we got a little glimpse of that today in Tucson for a while, didn't we? We really want to apologize to you sunny Tucsonians for us Tennessee folks and Virginia folks and whatever more that brought you this weather. We're leaving first of the week. Maybe you'll have all sunshine after we're gone. Now God is going to prove his greatness. Let me share a few things with you tonight. There are 950,000 known species of insects. Say, that don't interest me. Well, it should. Your daddy made them. Now, you may not like them all, but he put them here for a reason. Now, why not just make one species? That was one more than the devil could make. But instead of making one, he made, as far as they know now, this is known species, and they're finding unknown all the time, 950,000. That's my father. I said, that's my father. He don't just answer a prayer every now and then, my brother, sister. He knows exactly what you need. And even sometimes when you pray and it seems like he don't hear you, he's hearing you. There are over 10,000 new species of insects found every year. So God just says, all right, big boy, back up. Let me show you how a God creates. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. But remember, God must express his attributes. Hope you understand what I'm fixing to say now. There was things that came out of the manifestation of God after Adam fell that we would have never seen had Adam have never fallen. Amen. If God would have only brought into existence his children, which are his attributes, which are in the Lamb's book of life, there would be millions and millions of people which would never even existed on the earth, such as Pharaoh and so on. But the mercy of God is so great and so abundant that the grace of God first strikes the names in the Lamb's book of life. Then he goes over beyond the Lamb's book of life into the book of life, and he says, whosoever will, let them come and take of the water. That should make you jealous, bride. That ought to make you happy that your husband has so much love. He not only loves you, he not only loves the bride, but he loves 144,000. He loves the Jews. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. Come on, preach with me tonight. I'm talking about a mighty God. I'm talking about a God that is a creator and a redeemer and a savior and a healer. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Tetzkenu, Jehovah Rapha. He's with you when you're down. He's with you when you're sick. He is your all in all. I don't know why they stuck the oldest preacher in between these younger guys. There are 1.5 million animal species that have already been found and identified, with projections between 2 and 50 million more to be found. So from the little bitty old gnat to whatever kind of bugs y'all have out here, I'm not familiar with your bugs. And you look at him and you think, what was he thinking? You ever do that? You ever look at bugs and animals and different creatures and you're saying, oh my goodness, poor guy. I mean, you look at the warthog of Africa and you say, oh my goodness. Every time I get to feeling ugly, I pull up one of them pictures and look at that. They say, oh, thank you, Jesus. I ain't in the warthog family. Oh my, and then you look at things that are so beautiful. You look at things that are so colorful, and then you look at things that aren't colorful at all. And yet what did he do? He covered the earth with species of insects, species in the air, species on the ground. Why? Just because he could do it. Oh, hallelujah. Nobody made him do it. Nobody twisted his arm. He did it because he wanted to do it. There are over 18,000 species of butterflies. Butterflies. Now, you ever seen a butterfly pack a compact mirror? You ever seen a butterfly with a selfie? I mean, they're just snapping their selfies as they go. Look at my feathers. Oh, my wings. Oh, I'm so beautiful. No, that's just vain humans that do that sort of thing. You realize most of them will live their life and never see their self? And some of them live where there's not even human beings. So God didn't just necessarily make them so people could see them. They just live their life and fly around and got these beautiful dots and stripes and whatever more. Oh, glory to God. But God hid a mystery inside of the way they come to the earth. When they are born and they come out, oh, glory to God. And ain't nobody can preach this out with a jewel now, so I'm not even going to try. But when they are born and they come out of there and they have one thing on their mind, that is eat. So they eat and they eat and they grow and they grow and they eat and they eat. And you're familiar with their stages, how they come up to it. And when they go into the cocoon, the pupa, and they begin to change and transform, their body totally liquefies. Every organ in their body totally dissolves and it becomes a soupy dark liquid.
Amen.
From in the middle of that liquid, look at it, it's a very type of the earth. Out of the very soup of that liquid, out of there, something begins to transform. They go into that with one kind of stomach, one kind of brain, one kind of eyes. But when they come out, they've got another kind of brain and another kind of stomach and another kind of eyes. Can't you see yourself? The mystery of your life is written in the butterfly. You was out there in the world and lost without God, but God pulled you in the cocoon of the word and you entered in with a worldly taste and you come out with a holy man's taste. You entered in blind, Laodicea. You come out with bright light. Oh, hallelujah. What was it that transformed you? God did. Can't you see why he allowed us to be born dead? Lost. You're like the earth. You were lost. Lost in the sense of the prodigal son lost. Lost in the sense of the coin and lost in the sense of the one sheep. That's the way the elect were lost. Well, glory to God. Amen. That prodigal son did not become a dead pig. And then he transformed himself and become back to a dead son. He was a son when he was in the pig pen. Come on now, saints. That coin that was lost in that little woman's house, amen, it was already a coin. It already had the image of the king minted on that coin before it was lost. That sheep was already a sheep before it ever got lost. There's the elect of God. But he let you be born in this darkness, smitten with judgment. Let's be honest, some of us in such a bad shape, the devil even wrote us off. Throwed you in the trash heap of humanity. They probably ain't even no hope for that poor old guy. I've made such a mess out of him, I feel sorry for him. Then verse 2 happened to your life. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. You was in a darkened chaos, spinning out there in a world of darkness. You tried this dope and tried this alcohol and you tried this vodka and you didn't know what else to do. But all of a sudden the Spirit of God moved upon your form and you was with darkness and void and the Holy Ghost began to move on that predestinated seed that he placed inside of you and said, let there be light. And there was. There are 391,000 vascular plants. That means they have veins and arteries where the sap can go up and down. 391,000 that are known, with 2,000 new plants being found every year. Now how about you Arizonans like to have just hickory nut trees and walnuts and not your pine, not your Sherman pine, but our white pine. What if God decided, I'm going to cover the whole earth in pawpaw trees. I'm going to cover the whole earth in oranges. Oranges is fine and dandy, but they won't live where I live. Put some of your trees out where we live, they'll die in a month. Same with our tree where you live. So what did God do? God loves to diversify. That's why is it we want to be like this man? We get an image in our mind. Oh, I wish I could preach like that. I wish I could sing like that. God don't want you to be like that man or that man or that man. God wants you to be the way he made you. The way God made you. That's the way he loves it. He loves variety. Notice in the fourth seal, the prophet says, I believe every seed in Genesis 1:1 in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. I believe every seed was laying right there from some other civilization. So there had been another civilization in between verse 1 and verse 2. So the judgment of God strikes the earth. But he does not destroy the seed life. I love this. He said it's the same thing with the human being. It's a type. Praise God. So the Spirit of God begins to move upon the earth. And he raises the earth from the dead. I don't understand why any of you would live for the devil. Okay, forgive me. I've been serving the Lord since I was a 12-year-old boy, and I'm 61. I'll be 62 in a couple of months. So I grant you, all I've been is a Christian most of my life. You never drunk? Never. You never smoked? Never. You mean you never had girlfriends and stuff? Never. Boy, you don't know what you missed. Well, from the sound of some of you, I do. Cirrhosis of the liver, lung cancer. Praise the Lord. Now that don't make me one bit better than you, but I have no regrets that I gave my teens to the Lord. No regrets that I gave my 20s, my 30s, my 40s, my 50s. I've given decades of my life to the Lord. The only regret I have failed him so many times along the way. That's right, I wish that many things I could have redone, but all I can do as Adam did, as our brother brought this morning, go back and say, I have a lamb, devil. I've made mistakes along the way, but I have a lamb which is a perpetuation for my sin, and the seed of God is buried in me. It will come forth. Hallelujah. Oh. So we see a beautiful Eden. Now the earth is spinning out at this particular time. Apparently it's still on its right tilt of axis. Now God made the earth with the amount of error which would be calculated into the original creation, knowing that when man fell, the earth would turn from this. Temperature was the same all the way around, everything eating vegetation. When it fell, when man fell, the earth would tilt on 22.5 degrees. If he had not made it with that degree of tolerance, then the earth would have wobbled and wobbled and spun out of existence and destroyed itself. Now you do understand what helps the earth from wobbling so bad. Now you imagine taking one of your children's tops, if we even have such thing anymore, the kind of ancient toys. You know what a top is, where you take it and spin it? Well, you try to take one, if you've got one, and tilt it on 22.5 degrees and see if you can make it spin and turn 1,000 miles an hour. Now tell me, how is it that the earth being circular like this, and whenever you look at the earth, how that is turning about, how is it that on the southern pole or the southern Arctic, Antarctic and all that, how is it that that water and those people and those animals are on the bottom of the earth like this and the ocean don't fall off? How can them people walk upside down and they don't fall off? Praise the Lord. Now you take a ball when you get home and put water on it and turn it up in the air and spin it around and make it stay there with the water on the bottom of it and keep the water from falling off. Praise the Lord. Don't you see what he's doing? He's proving his greatness. Now to imagine him tantalizing the devil saying, hey Lucifer, have you made an earth lately? Watch that liar. He can't do none of that. But he tries to get right at God's heart. No, I ain't made no earth. But I've been watching that earth you say is yours. I've been watching them people up there you call sons and daughters of God. You even called them bride. I've been watching their humanity. And you're so big and you're so great yourself. Look at all this list of stuff that I've got. Look at all these things they've done. He said, Satan, maybe you ought to look again. I don't see one thing on that list. What happened to it? It was there 5 minutes ago. That was before they repented. But when they repented, I took my blood and I went from the top of that list. Oh, hallelujah. I went from the top of that list to the bottom of that list and I annihilated every one of their mistakes. Brought from the dead. Now out steps Adam into this beautiful paradise. He did not know that out near where we live in Tennessee, that a few years back they would start to widen a particular road there near where Brother Darrell and Sister Cheryl lives. And they got to digging and they found dinosaurs and all kinds of things. Beaver, the size of Volkswagens. They found animals that they never even knew existed in Tennessee. Now, what are those? That's the Earth's dateless past. It contains within itself the geological records of the judgment of God. But when Adam walked down on it, he didn't know any of that. In Nova Scotia, there's a place on the coast there that fossils are over 29,000 feet deep. There's 5,280 feet in a mile. 29,000 feet deep! The earth has its scars. Now let me change directions. Some of you are sitting in this place tonight, and some of you will hear this. You have such scars in your life. A mama, a daddy, a preacher, maybe verbal abuse, sexual abuse, all kinds of things that's happened to you. And for some of you, it's almost destroyed you. It's like you try to get over it and you try to do better. Some of your marriages, the reason you've been married and divorced and married and divorced and married and divorced, it's not that you want that path. It's because this geological record in your past weighs upon you so heavy. Oh, but Brother Donnie, I've got the Holy Ghost. Sure, I understand that. We get the Holy Ghost, but we still haul many of these things around in our spirit. Remember the woman at the well when Brother Branham tells us that the Lord Jesus contacted her spirit by discernment when Brother Branham would stand there and he'd wait for the angel of the Lord. You'll never find Brother Branham saying, I'm waiting to contact their body. I'm waiting to contact their soul. I'm waiting to contact their spirit. Why? The human spirit is the communication channel of the being. It, all the memories, all the past, all of those things lay in the spirit. And that's why something can happen to you and all of a sudden it triggers that thing which lays buried in your subconscious. Years ago I knew of a man, a message preacher that would live several states away from here. And he had a building contracting thing and he was building, there was burning some trash. And he was building, dug a hole down into it and it was burning some lumber and this and that. And he slid and fell into it. Whenever he did, he got into the fire. And it began to burn him. His crew pulled him out and he had some pretty good burns on him. So they got Gatorade, they got water, they got everything they could get. But that man to this very day, he told me after he heard me preach something along these lines. He said that at very day, the very smell or the sight of Gatorade will put him back in those flames again. Why? It's buried in his spirit. It's in the geological record of your human spirit. You remember when your uncle took you out to the barn. Or you remember when your daddy constantly called you stupid and ignorant and you'll never amount to anything. I understand that. That's what I was told all my life. You're stupid, Donnie. You're ignorant. You'll never amount to nothing. But you choose what you do with your geological past. Your daddy, my daddy, you know, will not answer for all that they did. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. But does that hinder us? Certainly it hinders us. Does it affect us? Does it cause complexes? Does it cause fears and inferiority? Sure it does. But by the grace of God, we can overcome them, or we can feel sorry for ourselves and wallow in our fears and wallow in our complexes. Adam walked out on this majestic planet in its pristine condition, not knowing what was beneath his feet. Shake the hand of a brother or sister. You don't know they lived with a child molesting daddy. Or a mama that never was loved, and therefore she didn't know how to love. It's amazing all the things we know, and yet some of the most important things in life, we don't know and don't want to know them. Some people cannot say, I love you. And others can't say, I'm sorry. They'll blame you and you and you, though you live four states away from them. It's your fault, sis. It's your fault, buddy. I can't get close to God because it's your fault. I don't even know who you are. How can it be your fault? But they just can't say it. What is it is buried so deep in their geological past? You remember that woman at the well? The prophet tells us the reason she was that way, because her mother and father turned her out on the street when she was young. Some of us sit right here in this place tonight under the auspices of the revealed word of the hour, and we hold such things within us. It hinders the kind of husband we are, the kind of wife we are, how we raise our children. And if you're not careful, the very thing you despise, you will become. I've seen it over and over again. I always marvel as you people say, oh, my daddy done this and I hated that and I hate that. And I'm thinking, you're just like him. You're just like him. Why can't you see it? It's so buried in the ages. You all hold the Grand Canyon in your state. It's one of the greatest geological records of the earth. Scientists love to come here. Paleontologists, all the different ones love to come and study the what? The strata of the different ages. Let the Holy Ghost study yours tonight. Let him go back when you was a child, and then when you was a teenager, and then the first message church you got to. Some of you had just about got to a place you're not even sure you believe in preachers no more, because you've been so abused by preachers. Preachers have lied to you. Preachers have done this and that. I don't think there is none. If there's false ones, there's got to be a few true ones somewhere. Come on, saints. You better believe the devil wouldn't have any false ones unless God had some true ones. God has got some true men of God. Well, I'll tell you one thing, a preacher hurt me, so I'm going to stay at a tape church. If a preacher hurts you, more than likely God will use a preacher to heal you. If a preacher hurts you, God ain't going to use a tape to heal you. Come on now. Somebody preach with me tonight. But what is it in this loop of time? You talking about a miracle. It's not just amazing that God saved our souls. But after God saved our souls and filled us with the Holy Ghost and left all this strata in our humanity, all this stuff affects our life, and we still overcome. Let's be honest, friends. If it was not for this message, we would never gather together like this. There's things about each other we just don't like. Now, I'm going to get plain. I'm not deep tonight, but I'm plain. There's things about one another we just don't like. Now, if we was gathered here for a hockey game, we'd wind up fighting. Because I never have liked you anyway. Pop! But we're not gathered for a hockey game. We're not gathered for a sport event. We're gathered to be changed. We don't want to just be changing our soul. We want our strata to be brought under the control of the Holy Ghost. You imagine the prophet of God calling out a man and telling him, brother, you're poor. You're sick. You got carbon monoxide poisoning. You're a mechanic. and you're working on a car and you got carbon monoxide poisoning and you're afraid to go back to work. But you need to go back to work because you're poor. Now what did he do? He didn't contact the man's flesh and find a readout of this carbon monoxide poisoning. Where'd he go? The strata. The strata. You imagine? A sister comes up and the prayer line. Maybe this is your one time to come before the prophet of God. One time. You're hoping he'll say, man alive, you're a spiritual sister. Whoa. You read 47 chapters a day. You pray 29 and a half hours a day. I don't know how you do it, but you do it. I'm telling you what, you're one of the most spiritual women I ever seen in my life. But instead, he says, you're nervous. I see you as a little girl coming home from school with a yellow checkered dress on. You're running. There's a dog after you. You run up on the porch and you fall through the screen door. It put a fear in you. You've been afraid all of your life. What about how many times I pray? What about I've been a Christian for so long? That wasn't what she needed. The strata in her earth. We need to pray a little more like Jesus then. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In earth, in earth, in earth. Another sister comes up before him. Sister, you're constipated. You're constipated. You have a phobia of wintertime. A phobia of wintertime. And when it gets wintertime, it affects you. Now you imagine this sister may have tried fiber. She may have went to a doctor. She may have tried to get all kinds of pills. Of course, they didn't have online stuff then. You know, go online. Oh, I'm constipated. Let's see. Let's go to Amazon. Number one best constipation. Have it here by Prime tomorrow. And praise God. Oh, this is going to help me. Friends, it was not in her colon. It was not. Don't you understand? Don't you understand how we are so put together? Look at the earth. The earth was not brought in this day just because of the dust and the rock and the ashes. It had an affinity with a claim on it. You're one time before a prophet of God, and he tells you you're constipated. You may laugh at that, but if you're in pretty bad shape, that meant the world to her. Come on. You're that one brother that carbon monoxide poisoned. You imagine, Brother Mike? He was able to leave that place and go back to work. Oh, glory to God. Look, I ain't no prophet. There ain't no prophet in this building. We ain't looking for another Malachi 4:5 or Malachi 4 3/4. But the Holy Ghost is here. He's here to be able to discern your strata and go down deep in those scars. And let the Spirit of God move on you. Don't you understand? Even in the millennium, when we step on the ashes of the wicked, the earth holds these things in her strata. Dinosaur bones will be under our feet in the millennium. Why? Still in time. You see, God went into the seventh day to rest. Man called God out of his seventh day, and God stopped his Shabbat. Well, glory. So God put the seventh day on halt, on hold. But when the millennium comes, at the dawn of that seventh morning, it's the only day that had two beginnings. It had a beginning and God stopped it. It will have another beginning, glory to God, when we walk out on the earth. It will have another beginning, Brother Mike. Preach it. We will live upon this earth, rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And then my brother or sister, what will he do? He will lift the bride off the face of the earth. And then the holy fire from God will come upon this earth. And for hundreds of miles, what's he doing? Eradicating the geological record of her past. Oh, hallelujah! The new city will not come down and set on fossils. It will not come down and set on dinosaur bones. The record will be gone. Can you and I ever get to the place that we wish our memory was gone? Maybe some of you are innocently minding your own business. You stop at Walmart or whatever your place is to stop. You're just minding your own business. You're getting Cheerios and Rice Krispies and milk and whatever more. And one of your old favorite 70 songs comes on. I'll speak the rest of this behind the curtain over here. And you're just going along loving the Lord. And all of a sudden that Beatles tune. Your neck will go. And you say, Lord, have mercy. Did anybody see that? And then you get some jelly and you get this and that and the other. And all of a sudden, hey, Jude. Don't sit there and look at me like you do not know what I'm talking about. How is it we can remember the words to Hey Jude and we stumble over Amazing Grace and he looked beyond my fault and saw my need? And why, friends? It's in your strata. It's buried so deep in you. I myself have been through a lot of things. A lot of trials in life. I was molested by a preacher when I was a young boy. Still to this day, if I'm alone with a brother, if a brother comes to pick me up at the airport, just me and him, if he moves his hand, trauma comes over me. If he reaches to get a stick of chewing gum or get his keys or whatever more. Come on now. Why? Do I want that? I hate that. It's in my strata. The scars. Sometimes I wake up at night reliving those moments. Sweating profusely. Find myself crying. Haunted. Because I'm a sinner? No. Because I'm on earth. Now I open myself tonight and place it before this audience. I know this service will go around the world. But I do that. That some of you may see. You're not there. Maybe God won't have you to expose yourself the way he does some of us preachers. But I can tell you, I saw that man some years ago. At my aunt's funeral, Carol and I was sitting there. He come in on a walker type thing. Carol grabbed me by the hand. She could feel my hand twitching. Me nervous. She said, "You okay?" I said, "I'm all right." She just kind of clutched my hand, praying for you. Said, "Thank you." That hypocrite. He walked up there to my aunt's casket and turned around and come back and smile at me. Wow. Brother Mike, I was so happy for what I felt. Because there was a time in my life I felt this. But I didn't feel that.
Is the strata gone, Brother Doug? Still there. I just checked it the other day. Still there, Brother Joel. But yet, what's God made out of my life? A place which rivers flow out to His saints. Come on now, I'm not just going to talk about me, I'm going to talk about you. What has God made of our lives, Brother Doug? A place where the tree of life blooms. Praise God. Look at these men. You say Brother Darrell was a perfect man. You say Brother Mike was a perfect man. You think these men didn't have sins and faults and failures. They still have faults and failures. That's exactly right. But what are we going to focus on? We're going to focus what's down inside of our spirit. Or we're going to focus on what God has made us. God can turn you into a Garden of Eden, a paradise, if you'll let Him. But when will we get rid of the scars, Brother Donnie? When we get the body that matches our soul. Hallelujah. I've got a scar right here on my hand. It's wide enough. You might be able to see it in the light. Me and my brothers and sisters went one day behind our house and my mama packed a picnic lunch and was going to have a picnic together. A rabid fox come out of the woods. Knocked down my little sister. I'm 11 years old. Knocked down my little sister and started biting her on the arms and getting at her face. I had a pocket knife in my pocket. So I reached down and grabbed this pocket knife and opened it up. I'm left-handed. I'm not sure how it wound up in my right hand. But anyway, when I drawed back to stab this fox turned around and bit me on the hand. Laid my hand wide open. My hand went instantly numb, so it wasn't that painful. My other two sisters took off running to the house. So I break off a stick and I'm looking for the fox and the fox is running back and forth and it's rabid, so it's crazy. So we take off and I'm the oldest, so I stay at the back of the trail. My hand is pouring the blood and mama and daddy run out of the house to meet us and mama crying and daddy all tore up. Daddy was the type of person that when you got hurt, he was going to talk to you like a dog. What in the world was you doing out there anyhow? You didn't need to be out. I didn't need all that. I just got fox bit. That's the way some preachers are too. You get fox bit and they go to cursing you. Oh my. So they cleaned us up and took us to the doctor and myself and my sister, which had a little bites on her arm. And so we go to the doctor and the doctor starts numbing it and going to try to sew it up. So is anybody else bit? No, no. Who else was there? Well, my brother Harry was there. He get bit? No, no, no. Did he have any open wounds in his body? And mama said, I don't know. So mama called home, my grandmother was there, check Harry, make sure. So sure enough, Harry had some open wounds. The doctor said, burn all of her clothes, burn her boots. I had one of my favorite pair of cowboy boots and they had to burn them. Oh, how painful. So they had to bring Harry to the doctor. We had to take the rabies shot, which at that time was a rabbit for them. We were so poor, we couldn't afford to buy all that. I don't know how they ever paid for it, really. But we went to the doctor's place, his house, and we had to start taking one shot on the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh day, eighth day, ninth day, tenth day, 11th day, 12th day, 13th day, 14th day. 14 shots, one a day in the stomach. Now, you know, this scar represents many things. It contains memories. For years, I was scared of foxes, scared to go in the woods. Now in my house, I've got probably 14 or 15 of them, taxidermy mounts, not live. But it took quite some time for me to get over that fear. But now they're downstairs where I study, and I sit and study. I look at them every day that I'm home, but I'm no longer afraid. And I look at this scar, and my little grandkids will come up sometime and rub my hand. You know, little girls, how they are. And they, oh, Poppy, it looks so pitiful. And they'll kiss my hand. And you know, but I'm so glad I've got that scar there. Because none of you would want to shake my hand if it was still bleeding, would you? If it had been bleeding for 50 years of my life, I'd have been a dead man. So that scar actually means I got healed.
Amen. You can make whatever you want out of your scars. You can say, I don't trust nobody. I don't trust preachers. I ain't going to no church. You can do that if you want to. Or you can let that scar come to a healing and wait for a new body. Hallelujah. When the Lord God will pass over your earth and say, let there be a new existence. Many of you know Brother Joe Forney stood at our church several months ago. He told of an experience that he had had whenever he was a boy. Great brother, great preacher. But yet it set a hatred in him for men. He hated men. And he was going to kill somebody. He told this at our church, so I can repeat it. Even after he got saved and after he got the Holy Ghost and after he began to preach, this thing would still rise up in him because what happened to him as a child. But somebody told him about a sermon that a preacher had preached called Scarred Human Beings. So Brother Joel and his wife was going down the road one day listening to this tape. And he let out a scream. And Sister Vanessa said, what in the world's the matter with you? He said, Vanessa, that thing just left me. Praise God. Praise God. Is it still in his strata, Brother Darrell? It's there. Is the dinosaur bones still there? They're still there. But the thing that kept reminding him, that kept wallowing in his spirit, something left him. Lord God, children, the great tremendous preaching we've heard here this week, let's not go out of here be the same people, but let's dig on down a little bit deeper tonight. Some of you don't just need revelations in your soul. You need a healing in your spirit. You need to forgive those people that have wronged you. You need to go on with your life and not let those things control you. You're wobbling and wobbling and wobbling and wobbling. You're like an earth tilted on its axis with no hope in sight. It all happens in this little block of time. You understand where we are in this block? It fell down maybe millions of years ago. Let me draw it for you like this. So here's the circle of eternity. So the block drops down with the most extreme side of the leg on the left side. It comes down and it changes dispensations. Come across the Edenic covenant. It comes across in a streak of the blood. Do you understand where we are? We've done turned the corner at Calvary. We're almost back into the circle again. Lord. In our souls, think of it, in our souls, we've already done this. Amen. In our souls, we've already entered into eternity. That's why the prophet would say in future home, you wasn't saved on no certain day. You always was saved. You just had to recognize it. In our souls, we've already entered into eternity, and our bodies ain't far behind. What are you going to take with you out of this block? I'm taking my eye color, my hair color, which this is not my original color. I'm taking my height and my proper weight, my proper size, and my character. Now you see, if he would have bypassed this loop, he could have spoke me into existence from the Lamb's Book of Life, and I would have been an attribute. No human victorious overcomings, no dealings with humanity, no dealing with eye color. He could have picked whatever color I wanted, created it, and gave it to me. I'd have stood there. We could have all stood around the throne of God, and he could have said, children, children, listen to me. I'm a healer. We'd say, really, Papa? Really? Oh, wow. That must have been something. You could have been a healer. Yeah, I could have been a healer. Of course, none of y'all was ever sick. Enemy is this attribute to be a redeemer. And we say, wow, praise the Lord. He could have been a redeemer. But when the loop comes back up, it won't be him telling us. Glory! It won't be him telling us, I could have been a redeemer. It will be us telling him, you are a redeemer. I was lost and you saved me. I was sick and you healed me. It will be you and you and you and you. And the earth will come to its Eden beauty again. You will grab a hold of your wife. You'll take her by the hand. Eden will step out on Eden. The word Eden means pleasure or paradise. This is the very word that Sarah used when she said to Abraham, shall I have Eden with my Lord? Pleasure. Glory to God. Our souls is already there. The four springs are coming down through Halava. There's gold. There's bdellium. There's onyx. And the Bible says the gold is good in that land. In our souls, there's gold, which is deity. Silver, which is redemption. Violet and purple and blue and all the beautiful gems of God already in our souls. But our bodies still hold this strata. Let's close. Let's bow our heads if you would. Lord Jesus. We don't want anyone looking around now. Maybe there's some of you here tonight, men, women, boys, girls. Maybe you're a victim, or maybe you're the perpetrator. Either way, there's forgiveness. Some of you hold such things in your spirits. The scars run so deep. Even your mama don't know. Your daddy don't know. Your pastor don't know. If you're a victim, you can understand that feeling that I'm going to mention to you, because somehow a victim feels as if though they're the guilty one. This is signs of a predator, of course, using a victim to try to convince them, if you tell, this and this and this will happen. Many of you have been victims of preachers, victims of message casualties, one church split after another, and all kinds of various things you've been through. But oh, friends, let God turn your walk into a Garden of Eden. In our souls, we've already been restored back. The prophet tells us Jesus Christ has restored what Adam lost. You believe that? So here we are in Satan's Eden, but he ain't the only one got an Eden. God's got one too. Right here tonight in our souls is the paradise of God. Praise God. And the only way you'll ever be able to allow that to flow out of you is for the Holy Ghost to bring all your strata, all your geological records, bring them under control. Instead of letting your complexes control you, you control them. Oh my. I wonder how many tonight would raise your hand to the Lord and say, Brother Donnie, please, brother, remember me. I have complexes, fears, things in my past, things that has been done to me or things that I've done to others. And I need God's help. Would you just raise your hand to God? Nobody's going to ask you what it is. Your secret is kept well between you and God. I'm not going to tell you tonight that he will come and remove that from your memory. Oh, I wish that were possible. It will be in your strata, buried deep within you, until the body change. But he can give you power to be able to overcome it and live above it. Can we stand to our feet? I wonder if I could ask you if you'd lay your hands on one another. Brother Kenny, can we sing that? Maybe touching Jesus. I think G.
There's no telling what that person is bearing in their heart, that load. They may have come to this place tonight and said, I ain't coming back no more. I'm finished. I'm done. It might be your prayer that God will move on them. No matter how deep we are, and all we love deep, Preacher Mile, we've heard some wonderful things here this week. I love it. But we don't want to pass over these needs either. No matter how deep we are and how much we know, depth is not what touches God, it's our faith. Can we just offer a word of prayer for one another? Touching Jesus is all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. There's only one way to touch Him. You must believe when you call on His name. A woman tried so many physicians. Oh, let Dr. Jesus come your way. Yet grew worse, so did Jesus. She came, oh hallelujah. And when that crowd tried to restrain her, she whispered these words. Through her pain, oh hallelujah, oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters, and then your life will never be the same. There's only I want you to pray with me now. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are defeated. You are not defeated tonight. You were defeated 2,000 years ago when our Lord God came on the earth and said, let there be light. He gave His life that we could be free from your bondage. Lord Jesus, we join our faith together tonight, Lord, not only in this visible audience, but I pray for those that have streamed this service and those that will go back and archive it in Norway, in Africa, in Iceland, wherever they are around the world. May the Holy Ghost come right out of their iPhone right now, Lord, as it were, hearing the word. May it come to their computer. Lord Jesus, may the Spirit of God, I pray, go to your children around the world. Visit us right here tonight, Father, in Tucson. May the Holy Spirit come right down. May it begin with me, Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, may you come down and touch my strata. May you, Lord God, hallelujah. May you transform my thinking. May you transform me, Lord God, and make me a more beautiful Garden of Eden, Father. May water come out of me. May life come out of me. May fruit come out of me. May gold come out of me, Lord God. Yet on the top of me, on this beautiful, beautiful Eden, beneath it is scars and hurts and disappointments in people. But Lord God, help me that I'll never let that be the determining factor of the gold in my land, or the trees in my land, or the water in my land. You planted that in me, Lord. I want to grow. I want to grow, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Just believe when you call on. Can we sing it together? Oh, can you touch him tonight? Oh.